Angie is your home for everything home, and they've made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work that can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. So the next time you have a home project, just Angie that and start getting the most out of your home. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Hey, I'm Nolan Sykes, a host of Past Gas, the number one automotive podcast in the world. Every week, my co-host, James Pumphrey, Joe Weber, and I bring you some of our favorite stories from the hallowed halls of car history. From the amazing, to the weird, to the utterly unforgettable moments, we cover it all. Join us as we take a look at the wild stories and larger-than-life characters behind legendary cars and car makers. So if you love cars or just like a good story, check out Past Gas by Donut Media, the number one automotive podcast in the world.
Incredibly exciting.
It's really about
as a developer, that's an amazing feeling to have. Welcome.
Good afternoon, good evening, and good night, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Father's PlayStation Podcast, aka FPS. This episode is the 184th episode. Can you believe that? It is the biggest UK-based PlayStation show in which two fathers usually discuss all things PlayStation. However, this week, I'm flying solo. Schedule clashes meant that Sony couldn't make it today, but don't worry, we're still going to be giving you the latest news in the PlayStation world. And in this episode, we have Final Fantasy FIFA taking over. We have the whole load of updates on the new game and future platforms. The India Hero Project has opened the doors to five PlayStation funded games. We're going to go over that today. The full cast of the next season of Lutu, you know, that's my favorite show. Well, definitely my favorite game conversion, is now public. So we're going to be going through the cast today. We opened the wormhole on Dune Awakening as gameplay details and trailers have been released. And plus there's more news, sales numbers, charts and letters. And normally I'll be throwing this over to Sunny, but however, we can't do that today. But we're going to talk about what games I've been playing. And yeah, come on listeners, you know exactly what I've been playing this week. It's been the Tekken. It's the only game really worth playing. Next to obviously The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, I am slugging through that game and it's an amazing game, but Tekken is phenomenal. If you haven't played it yet, definitely you need to get your hands on it. But throwing it over to our Patreon members, Mini Amand has let us know what she's been playing this week. And she goes on to say, a tiny bit of Helldivers 2, but mainly Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, which has been getting a lot of popularity. Lord, what a great game. Visually stunning and so fluid. Final Fantasy Rebirth will win Game of the Year. Any predictions from Millie Amand? We go over to Evie now. She totally agrees. Final Fantasy VII is everything I hoped it would be. And more, I'm guessing. Already the game of the generation for me. Can you tell I've been playing? Obviously, we got two fans who are definitely excited about the Final Fantasy Rebirth, and do let us know your thoughts about Final Fantasy Rebirth. It seems to be taking up a storm. But anyway, let's just take a dive back into gaming history. Okay, this week in gaming history. Oh my gosh, it's making me feel old. March the 4th, 24 years ago, Japan played host to the launch of the PS2. Eternal Ring, Kessen, Ridge Racer 5, and Street Fighter EX3 were just some of the games that had launched alongside the console. Now, this was a massive event that actually happened. I mean, obviously from the success of the PlayStation 1, the PS2, just imagining what it could be like, because it was just such an amazing time in gaming history. Nobody had any idea which direction Sony was actually going to take with their second outing. And my God, what a console that they delivered. And obviously Sony would love to deep dive into a lot of these PlayStation 2 stories, which we will do in the next episode. But moving on, 23 years ago, the promise of the Matrix is game form was broken as the Bouncer launched on the PS2 and failed to live up to the initial trailer's hype. Yeah, obviously during that time, the Matrix was the be-all and end-all when it came to action, just action movies, and you just wanted to see bullet time in absolutely everything. The Bouncer came out and it was promising to be a inkling of the Matrix, but as we said there, it didn't really live up to the hype. But anyway, moving on. 22 years ago, the world was introduced to the horror title Fatal Frame for the PS2. The game would do well commercially, which would turn the Fatal Frame game into a full-blown franchise. And in 2008, saw the launch of God of War Chains of Olympus on the PSP. The game went on to sell 3.26 million copies, and what an awesome franchise which has developed into what we now know with God of War 2018, and obviously with the sequel Ragnarok. But anyway, let's move on, ladies and gentlemen.
This is live from PS5. Let's go now to our first story.
Okay, rolling on to this week's news story number one. After the successful China Hero project, which helped bring several PS5 and PS4 games to a global audience, Sony is doing the same in India, and it's ready to talk about the selected titles. The India Hero Project is aiding a set of 5 games from Indian developers, all of which are heading to the PS5 as well as the PC. The Hero Project program sees Sony offer mentorship, funding, resources, and more to game makers in countries with burgeoning development scenes. Below are the 5 games heading to the PS5 in the future, all of which come from Indian studios. Let me give you all a brief overview of each title, but there's more details available over on the PS blog, so make sure you go check that out. The first game we're going to be going into is Meteora, the race against space time. Now, this game is described as a combat arcade racer. Meteora, the race against space time, has you controlling a meteor as it hurtles through the cosmos. You'll compete against other meteors for the win, levering up abilities and climbing up the leaderboards as you go. This one is being developed by the PSVR2 also, as well as the PS5, so make sure you go check that out. Another game, Fishbowl. Yeah, weird title, but let's go into it. It's a melancholic, story-driven adventure game set in the contemporary India, featuring lo-fi music and pixel art visuals. The game has a relaxed feel but tackles themes of grief, connection, and self-discovery as you guide Aloy, through her first steps in a new work-from-home job. Interesting, if you like that chilled-out vibe in terms of the great visuals and lo-fi jazz music. And the next game, Mukti. I've said that wrong. I'm going to repeat that again. It's Mukti. Human trafficking is the sobering subject matter of Mukti. This curious game has you exploring a labyrinthine Indian museum in first person to discover more about this atrocity. The title aims to raise awareness and inspire action against human trafficking in what sounds like an impactful, important experience. And it's always a really good idea when you're raising topical issues through different forms of mediums, and why video games should be no other. You know, at least you can actually delve further into the issues and explore parts which don't normally get much spotlight. So I'm actually looking forward to seeing how this game's going to turn out. The next game, Requital, Gates of Blood. Interesting title. This is an exploration of Egyptian mythology through the lens of a side-scrolling action platformer. Playing as Zafra, you'll help her fight her way out of the afterlife realm of Duat with boss rush-like encounters with mystical beasts. So definitely check that one out if you like your hack and slash side-scrolling action games. The next game, Suri, not to be mixed up with the Apple AI system, which has been failing miserably ever since its release. But anyway, hopefully they're going to release a new one later on this year. But anyway, getting back to the news. Suri, the Seventh Note. This is another 2D action platformer, though thematically very different. Suri the Seventh Note explores India's mythology, exploring mystical areas like floating Himalayan temples and ancient jungles. The gameplay here seems to combine traditional running and jumping with rhythmic slant, as the game's world synchronizes seamlessly with an enigmatic beat. As mentioned, each one of these games is heading to the PS5, although none of release dates just yet. Still, each one sounds really interesting, and there's a couple there which is definitely taking my eye, definitely. The Requital Gates of Blood, definitely Mukti. I definitely want to see how they're actually going to raise the awareness of human trafficking. I'm down to even check out Fishbowl. You know, it sounds very chill. But yes, as we've mentioned, there are no release dates as of yet, but we'll definitely be diving into those in more detail when the time permits. Okay, the second story this week, Dune Awakening is a new MMO survival game from Funcom, first revealed back in 2022 during Gamecom's opening night live showcase. Since then, however, we've not heard or seen much of Dune Awakening, but like the sandworms in the deep desert, a nice reference there, there's clearly been a lot happening under the surface. On Monday, Funcom premiered its Dune Awakening Direct Showcase, where it revealed a new gameplay trailer and went behind the scenes on what Funcom has been working on since we first saw Dune Awakening almost 2 years ago. Chief Creative Officer at Funcom and Creative Director on Dune Awakening, Joel Bylos, discusses some key gameplay details to expect in Dune Awakening. How players will be thrown into the test that is surviving on Arrakis is just the beginning, and then they'll have a chance to grow in power and notoriety to the point where they could become the leader of one of the great houses. When he was asked about the sandworms, Bylos avoided mentioning it, if Dune Awakening will allow you to ride them. However, even though the game's debut cinematic trailer from 2022 seems to suggest players will be able to ride sandworms, I'm sure it's a given that yes. Why would they leave an amazing idea or even an ability experience that on the table? So definitely look forward to that. Here he gives the warning that all players should heed in the sandworms that are to be avoided. Speaking of avoiding things, Bylos did not reveal when we could expect Dune Awakening to finally make its way to PS5. And the game is currently being beta tested and will continue to increase the number of players in the beta, which you can sign up to and potentially join. So definitely keep your eye for that, and we'll definitely let you know as soon as we know. Beyond that, there is still no indication as to when Dune Awakening is ready to release. Hopefully Funcom speaking about the game is more of a sign that the release window is coming soon. Obviously Dune 2 has recently hit the theatres, so I have not yet to check it out, but I am definitely waiting to see it at the BFI IMAX, which is the UK's largest IMAX screen. So as soon as I get my ticket, I'll definitely let you know my thoughts on it. But throwing it over to you guys, if you have seen the film, let us know your thoughts. And if you're looking forward to this game, let us know what you think.
Angie is your home for everything home, and they've made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work that can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. So the next time you have a home project, just Angie that and start getting the most out of your home. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Hey, I'm Nolan Sykes, a host of Past Gas, the number one automotive podcast in the world. Every week, my co-hosts, James Pumphrey, Joe Weber, and I bring you some of our favorite stories from the hallowed halls of car history. From the amazing to the weird to the utterly unforgettable moments, we cover it all. Join us as we take a look at the wild stories and larger-than-life characters behind legendary cars and car makers. So if you love cars or just like a good story, check out Past Gas by Donut Media, the number one automotive podcast in the world.
Okay, over to the third story this week. You might be interested in this if you're a Final Fantasy fan. Speaking during an interview with IGN, Naoki Hamaguchi, game director on Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, has touched base on the next and final installment in the Final Fantasy VII Remake project, offering a small glimpse at to what to expect from the third game. Obviously, Hamaguchi-san couldn't go into much detail right now about the third and Final Fantasy VII Remake game, which is probably a good 3 or 4 years away. However, he did mention one key location, Rocket Town, which is not featured in Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, and it was cut to make more room for Gongaga, an optional location in the 1997 version of Final Fantasy VII. He went on to say, so as for Rocket Town, this was also not a part of Nojima-san's original structure, and considering that how we introduced the character, Cid, for the remake series, this time is arranged a bit differently. Nojima-san, Nomura-san, and I were all aligned with this decision to consider this for the next title. Considering that the original, the Gongaga area, was optional for players, we wanted to delve into this and express this more in depth for Rebirth, and so that was an additional consideration for this as well. Speaking with in a separate interview, Hamaguchi also revealed that Square Enix is prepping a new update for Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, and that will address the visual issues affecting the game's performance mode. Now, obviously, you must have been sleeping under a rock if you've not heard the successful the buzz behind Final Fantasy VII, and from what I've heard, it's definitely worth checking out. So, if you have managed to get your hands on it and you're playing through it, let us know your thoughts in the comments section below. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, is the fourth story of the week, and what can I say? I just love talking about this franchise. You've heard it, you've listened to the story, you've listened to the show. You know, the one game franchise which has successfully transitioned from being an awesome game. They had two iterations after remakes and remastered. They then came out with an amazing HBO show, and of course, ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about The Last of Us. HBO's The Last of Us. And it's ramping up filming for season 2. And as such, we've had 4 new cast members added. And they are Danny Ramirez, Tati Gabrielle, Ariella Barra, and Spencer Lord. Now, Ramirez will be playing Manny. Barra will be playing Mel. Gabrielle will be playing Noor. And Lord will be playing Owen. All members of the group that take the cross-country trip with Abby to kill Joel. While we don't know how far into Last of Us Part 2 this season will go, these casting announcements could suggest that we'll be spending a fair bit of time with present-day Abby and her friends. Whether or not that's taking place before or after their trip to kill Joel is the big question. Showrunner Craig Mazin has done his best to try and keep his fans wondering about how Season 2 will shape up. So Danny Ramirez, he was in Top Gun Maverick and On My Block. Tati Gabrielle was in Uncharted, and she's also been in You and The 100. Ariella Barra, How to Blow Up a Pipeline, and Marvel's Runaways. And Spencer Lord was in Mixed Baggage and Fishing for Love. So familiar faces, you know, and especially the characters that they're going to play. And it's just going to be nice to see how the fresh take they're going to be bringing to these characters. But yes, the big question is, for those who've actually played the game, for part two especially, how far into the story will they go? You know, it's not multi-stranded, but it definitely has a, I guess, Nolan type vibe, the way they, you know, address both Abby's and Ellie's side. But yeah, definitely it's going to be, I think we're all curious. I mean, I'm on the edge of my seat. I can't wait to find out exactly what they're going to do with the season two. And there is so much content in part two of the game. They could split it into two seasons. They could split it into three seasons. You know, they could really just take a left and explore these characters even more so than they actually did in the actual game. Especially with Abby and the whole life that they have there, you know, which is far more organized than the life that Ellie and Joel came from. But as always, I'm still hyped up. I cannot wait to actually hear even more information about it as to when they're going to release it. Who knows? But hopefully it won't be too long. But definitely keep tuned in, because we're definitely going to be diving into it as soon as we've got some information. So stay tuned. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this week's story number 5, Final Fantasy VII, again, is in the headlines. And it's one of the most seminal games releases in history of the industry. And story number 5, ladies and gentlemen, Final Fantasy VII is one of the most seminal game releases in history of the industry. And an incredibly significant part of PlayStation's own history. Now, as Square Enix is embarking on a journey to remake one game with 3 games, we're learning why Square has decided to keep all 3 of these games exclusive to PlayStation consoles. In an interview with the Washington Post, producer Yoshinori Kitase, hopefully I've said that right, cites keeping Final Fantasy VII Remake, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, and seemingly the third game exclusive to one platform has been a core part of the success of the first 2 games so far. He went on to say, had it not been on a single platform, the world map would not be seamless, and the game design may have had to regress significantly, said Kitase. Kitase also pointed to Square Enix's ability to retain its employees, keeping the majority of the remake team together as they move from one part of the trilogy to the next. He went on to say, by carrying over the bonds we've created with teammates from the first installment, we can avoid any time-wasting detours that would come with assembling a totally new team. Rebirth director Naoki Hamaguchi also got a special mention from Kitase, who credited Hamaguchi with being a big role in the development process, being clear and efficient. He went on to say, Hamaguchi would set goals early on and make sure that they were shared and understood by the entire team. Further, these goals would be broken down to midterm goals that would we need to achieve every 3 months, and we would host a webinar for a show and tell where the team would update one another and we could all stay on top of everything, said Kitase. Square Enix has taken a route to make all 3 games exclusives. It has clearly helped them and the team scale. So far, we've gotten 2 excellent games on this journey to remake the game with 3. Hopefully the third game sticks the landing, which you can bet it will, since it seems it will also be an exclusive to PlayStation and can enjoy the benefits of single platform development, Kitase laid out in the interview. So, more good news. I mean, when you think about it, I mean, yeah, Final Fantasy did start originally on the SNES back in the day, but it just made a successful leap to the PlayStation back then, in 97, with Final Fantasy VII. And for it to just maintain its presence on the PlayStation and Sony franchise, well, base systems, is just, I guess that's just loyalty, I guess, you know, and it makes sense. And then he does dive into the fact that the just based on the technology, it would be a seamless transition from different areas of the maps on the PlayStation. But who knows what they would have to do, what shortcomings or shortcuts they would have had to take had they put it onto the Xbox. So you know, it's not just because of loyalty, it's also because of technical prowess. Another reason why the PS5 is just running loops around the Xbox. Not to say that the Xbox couldn't actually achieve these feats, but because of their, you know, their parity with both platforms, it does hold it back somewhat. So yeah, I think they made the great choice. Well, let us know what you think about the choice. Do you think they made a good decision to keep it on the PlayStation 5, or should they share it to other platforms? Let us know. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it is story number 6. And did you know it's been years since we've seen a game from Naughty Dog that wasn't The Last of Us? And while we know that there is work being done behind the scenes on a third game in the franchise, Naughty Dog has also been working on something new. Knowing that, it adds further intrigue to what Naughty Dog has been doing. What is in Neil Druckmann's head? Recent comments from the podcast interview with rapper Logic on his podcast, Logically Speaking, good title. He went on to discuss what is coming next for Naughty Dog, which could be either a new IP or The Last of Us Part 3. Druckmann gave what he seems to feel are realities of the project he's talking about. That'll both be really ambitious, but also really hard. Druckmann went on to say, working on this new game is really ambitious. Parts of it are really hard, but I've really surrendered to knowing it's going to be really hard, knowing it's going to stress members out of the team. Well, Druckmann continues saying, knowing that it will be both really hard and stressful, he's searching for a way to make the experience as joyous as possible. Well, I guess that doesn't sound like it's going to be the best of times for the team at Naughty Dog working on this brand new franchise or new game. But, I mean, like we mentioned in the previous episode, Neil Druckmann, you know, he's at that point in his life when he's, you know, he's creating great content, whether it be games or TV shows, and obviously he's got this next project to spearhead as well. But also he has to balance his work life with his family life, you know, so, and he's I guess he's trying to find a balance with that, but it seems like he's thrown himself right in the deep end by heading a project which is going to be very challenging. But the good thing about challenging projects is that it really does push creativity, and the fact that it's not going to be a walk in the park just shows that there is going to be some level of innovation which they're going to be throwing into this game. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what they've got. I mean, they've got some wizards at Naughty Dog and The Last of Us, and, you know, even Anthony Uncharted series, you know, they've all got something unique. So for them to be adding a new franchise to their repertoire, I'm all for it. But yes, a bit like he did say, even though it's going to be hard work and a lot of stress, he's going to find a way to make it joyous, he's going to find a way to make it easy, and find a way for the team to actually develop the games to the best of their abilities. So I'm glad he's actually pointed that out, because we've all heard about crunch in the industry. Nobody really wants that. It doesn't produce the best work, so hopefully they can create an environment which will definitely have the best game mechanics, best game story, and who knows, this could be a new franchise which we then see HBO purchasing and turning into another award-winning series. Only time will tell. Let us know your thoughts.
Get ready for the next battle.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. And this week, in other news, BitReactor has revealed on Twitter that its planned Star Wars strategy game, it's still in production despite news last week that Respawn's first-person shooter title has been shelved. Obviously, we've been mentioning over the past couple of weeks, in fact, since the beginning of the year, that there's been layoffs here, there, and everywhere, and companies are really second-guessing whether they need to release certain titles. So it's good to hear that their planned Star Wars strategy game is still in production. Moving on, open-world survival game Terminator Survivor has been revealed after being teased by Nacon for years, and it will arrive on console sometime after its releases on PC this fall. So you Terminator fans out there, go get it. Massive Entertainment has released the Avatar Frontiers of Pandora title update 3 patch notes, which brings a wealth of fixes to the game as well as improved FSR3 support. The first PS5 game actually to use technology. FSR basically stands for Fidelity FX Super Resolution 3. which is pretty much using, it's like DLSR or using AI to fill in those little gaps in terms of the pixels, in terms of the rendering, so that it just enhances the visuals. And therefore, because AI is kind of handling that aspect of it instead of leaving it to the CPU or the GPU, that being the central processing unit or the graphical processing unit, the AI handles that aspect of it, which means that the resources of the computer or of the PS5, for example, can just be pushed towards more of the game mechanics, game audio and other things. So it's actually a good technology. Moving on, Arthur Morgan, voice actor Roger Clark, is set to narrate an audiobook titled Red Dead's History. So for all you Red Dead Redemption fans out there, I'm guessing you'll be jumping on Audible to grab your copy of that when it eventually does get released. And finally, Marvel's Spider-Man 2 New Game Plus is finally out. So definitely go and get your hands on that and let us know whether it was worth them delaying it for so long, or should they have just like released it? But we have heard breaking news that there is a massive bug which has been released with this new game plus, which pretty much just gives anybody who's who performs a certain combination of tricks access to the developer mode. So which means that you can tweak certain aspects of the games, kind of like back in the day, like on the Mega Drive or the SNES, where you just had like a cheat menu getting yourself infinite lives so you don't die or take damage or anything of that nature. But Insomniac Games have also said, yes, we are aware of it, we are going to be releasing the patch. Do be careful if you do use it, because it could actually affect your platinum game, your trophies. So if for all you platinum hunters out there, I would think twice before diving into the developer settings, just in case you lose that platinum trophy that you've been working so hard for. And that goes definitely for Sony as well. But anyway, that's the other news for this week. Let's move on.
Experts are linking all of these events to an increase in activity on PS5.
Story's coming a little fast. A ship crash lands on
Justin?
Great next.
I'm
sorry to cut you off there, Tom. Unprecedented.
In today's news. Let's go right now.
This was live from PS5, bringing you the extraordinary.
And let's move on to the sales charts, the UK sales charts to be exact, for the week ending the 2nd of March 2024. Starting at number 10, Grand Theft Auto 5. That game just does not want to leave. But anyway, it's good to see that it's at the end of the top 10. At number 9, Marvel Spider-Man 2. Probably put because of the new game plus, it's definitely bumped it up a bit more. At number 8, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. At number 7, Super Mario Bros. Wonder for the Nintendo Switch. Number 6, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, another game that just doesn't leave. And number 5, Mario vs. Donkey Kong. Wow. Number 4, Helldivers 2, the game that just keeps on giving. And number 3, Hogwarts Legacy, last year's game that kept on giving. And at number 2 spot, EA Sports FC 24, which means at number 1, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth has taken the top spot. Now this should come to no surprise, but Final Fantasy VII Rebirth has launched straight to the top of the UK's physical charts. Square Enix's sequel is one of 2024's biggest releases and had a huge amount of pre-launch hype, so we'd expect nothing less. It forces EA Sports FC 24 into second place, and Hogwarts Legacy also slips one position into third. Both games were up week on week. Despite competition, Helldivers 2 held onto the number 4 spot after growing in sales for a third week in a row. So, we've also had some additional news. Total sales for the Persona series have also surpassed expectations with 22.6 million units worldwide. Developer Atlus announced, and I'm guessing that they are very happy. And finally, the DualSense Edge is the best-selling accessory of 2024 so far. So, I mean, it's still too early to call, but we might as well just accept the win while we can. Well, that's the chart for this week. And that about wraps it up for this week's edition of the show. Thank you again for joining us on this journey of PlayStation discovery. But now, seriously, folks, thanks for tuning in. We'll be doing this again next week, and Sonny will be here as well, so we can go into a lot of the things that we kind of missed this week in terms of his thoughts about the PlayStation turning 24, and also his top five games, which is one of the questions asked from one of our lovely listeners, Millie Armand. But do let us know any of your thoughts about any of the things that we talked about today. Final Fantasy VII, the fever is taking over. Are you going to be getting it? Do let us know. The India Hero Project, another success story for Sony. Let us know your thoughts about any of the games that we mentioned earlier, or that I mentioned earlier, and let me know if any of them actually pique your interest. The cast of Last of Us 2 Season 2 has been revealed. Are you as hyped as I am? Because I cannot wait to see Season 2 of this game. And the Dune Awakening, have you seen the film? Let me know your thoughts about it. And obviously with the sales and numbers and charts, we'll be doing again next week. So make sure you tune into all of that, because it seems like it's going to be a very interesting week next week. But anyway, thanks again for listening. Take care of yourselves, and we'll catch you next week. Peace out.